My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey Seth, I've got good news and a good life lesson here from a texter. This is from a little while ago on the show, but if you're still listening, texter. We had a texter that texted earlier this week that got fired and said he sulked for a day, and then the first thing he did when he woke up was turn on Payne and Pendergast and get into the workout room. Work out and get a better outlook on life, and not get a better outlook on life, but just, you know, keep a positive outlook and go find the next thing. Update, he's the guy he texted on Wednesday. He went back. He called his old boss and I don't know why he called him, but called him. They hadn't found his replacement yet. They gave him his old job back.
Welcome back
in. He said, thanks for the kind words the other day, guys. That's a testament to doing good work and not burning bridges. Amen, brother. Amen.
Good job. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Yeah, some cautionary advice for everybody. Not that you're going to get fired anytime soon, but it could happen. Man, you gotta fight human nature and just do not burn bridges unless it's justifiable or something, you know, whatever. But when
smart.
It's, there's no reason to dish on social media. I've seen too many people with a high opinion of themselves basically cut off a future source of income just because they burnt bridges when they didn't need to burn bridges.
Yep.
It's as bad as it is to call your ex-girlfriend when you're drunk, 1,000 times worse to tweet about your former employer or something like that, for petty stuff. It's just ask yourself, does this actually serve me in the long run?
Yeah, man.
And almost always the answer is no.
Yep.
Now, if you're trying to expose some kind of injustice or something, that's different. But usually what you're trying to do is expose your personal injustice.
Yeah.
And plus other employers see that too.
Right.
And what they think is, like, potential future employers, they think, oh, okay, so that could be me someday.
Yep.
If I hire this guy, he's going to talk smack about me after if things go south. So no, not even going to go there.
Yep. Now CJ Stroud talking smack about the city of Indianapolis, we encourage that. He can do that. I don't think he's ever worried about Jim Irsay employing him someday. CJ will have a job for a long, long time here in Houston. But the trash talk between CJ Stroud, the linebackers on the Colts, the general ill will between the two sides right now leading up to Sunday's game in Indianapolis has been a lot of fun. It really started with CJ right here. This is back in the summer of 2023. Summer of 2023, CJ and his people were doing a documentary where they were following him around during the offseason. He invited his teammates out to California. They had a big condo and LA, and they were working out, hanging out afterwards, going out to eat at night. They were CJ sitting in the back of an SUV here with his high school friend Caleb, and he was telling the other guys that were in the SUV he had to kind of sell Caleb on moving to Houston to be his kind of personal assistant. And here's what it sounded like.
I actually appreciated it. And I kept asking him, And he finally buzzed. But I guarantee if I went to the Colts or like a weak city, he would not be here. And I don't blame him.
The Colts or some weak city. They didn't like that in Indianapolis at all.
I like that. Now that, I'm all for that kind of smack talk, yes, amongst athletes where CJ's not even taking on the Colts themselves. In some ways, he pities the players on the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he pities Zaire Franklin that he's stuck in that. What did he call it? What kind of city? A weak city.
Weak city, yeah. It's
that he's playing city. In that weak city.
Yep.
I mean, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning doesn't live in Indianapolis. You know,
he lives
Peyton
in Denver. Manning's.
Yeah, he lives in Denver.
Yep.
So clearly, that probably resonates with some Indianapolisians who are stuck there themselves because their cousin wife's father, who's also your uncle, his backwater farm country is there.
So that was
tied to the land.
So
yeah.
That was the first salvo, CJ at the city of Indianapolis. So then the season goes by. Texans have a really good season. They beat the Indianapolis Colts in Indy in week 18 to clinch a playoff berth. The winner of that game would have gone on to the postseason, and it turns out won the division. It was the Texans. Just a couple weeks after this game, Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed were on their podcast, the Trenches podcast. Is it In the Trenches or just the Trenches podcast? Whatever. It's something with the trenches.
Yeah.
It's their podcast. And this is an actual trash talk here. This is the two of them just marveling at what CJ Stroud was able to do to them in week 18.
I gotta be honest, I gotta get that respect to CJ, man. Hell of a young player, bro. Young player. Hell of a player, period. I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. That second and 14 that he threw, bro, when he rolled out, bro, I ain't gonna hold you. So look, like, first of all, mad annoying. Ain't nothing worse in the defense than when you get them off schedule. Like, you get them first and 20, second and 20, third and 16, and them get it. Oh, my God. What?
It hurt. That hurt.
That hurt,
bro.
Oh, my God. You mad as on that first down. Like, that's when you get the what the happened? Ooh. Bro, look, we covering, man. And man, I swear to God, I'm on Singletary. Covering man, I see the pocket collapsing. Singletary start, trying to break free. Scramble drill. I plaster eyes on it. Woo, woo. He break. All right, whatever. Then I see the ball go. I think it's going out of bounds. I'm just watching that. Then I see Nico just running for that. Nah, ain't no way. He ain't doing. He caught that bitch. Singletary just look at me like, that's CJ.
Yeah.
And that just let me know, like, damn, he be doing shit like that all the time.
Crazy part about playing a quarterback like CJ, he for won't sure. even be looking at the read. And then he got about one more look before it get ugly for him. And then he look at your guy and you didn't plaster, like, gotcha ass. And then this look somewhere else and throw the ball for a completion. You like, nah.
That's what I like about CJ the
That's
most.
That's your third read? You know how degrading that is for a quarterback to hit his third read?
The last part's the best. You know how degrading that is for a quarterback.
You know what? Honestly, as EJ Speed is talking about that and how degrading it is for him to deserve, like, a lot of times he's actually hitting his 4-3 like with Dalton Schultz. Sometimes Dalton Schultz won't be in the route concept, but he's adjusted to the coverage the way that CJ knows that he's going to adjust to the coverage. And when it looks like he's out of options, he just whips it to Dalton Schultz. That's the part that's where it really highlights the comedy of the S2 cognition test, mm-hmm. because the S2 cognition test, amongst other things, is supposed to measure like how well you track multiple moving objects at one time with your eyes and what you do with it. And I think the sense I get is that it doesn't actually measure how you're seeing the things that you can't see. You know, for as a quarterback, It's that classic, from A Beautiful Mind, where you just see everything kind of coming together differently, or Neo in The Matrix. I think that what CJ has is a very, very good ability to understand what's going on the other half of the field. And based on what the coverage is and based on what he knows the receivers and how they're going to respond to it, so that when it comes down to that last moment, he doesn't have to see and verify. He can throw on trust. And, I mean, watching Lamar Jackson last night versus CJ Stroud and the way he operates, I think that there's just a clear, obvious difference in CJ's ability to throw with anticipation versus not just most other young quarterbacks, but most other quarterbacks in general. Yeah. And part of that is just that he sees the stuff he can't see, and he trusts that his receivers are doing the right thing because he's worked with them. And that's the part that gets all these ex-quarterbacks when they watch C.J. Stroud. That's what gets them so excited.
Yeah.
It's you can't measure that with an S2 cognition test as of yet. I'd love if they asked two cognition people were like, hey CJ, we'd like to maybe work with you and figure out what we missed. You know, we're kind of like we're leaking information to the press and making it look like you were an idiot. Could we not do that again?
He killed that thing dead. Like, was there any S2 talk during the draft process this year? There was none.
God, no. It would be the dumbest thing you could have ever done.
He killed that thing dead.
They should have said there wasn't anybody. This guy might go high because he scored low on the S2 cognition test.
Right. Might be the opposite now. All right, let's get to more of the trash talk. So somewhere between those accolades that the trenches guys were giving to CJ and somewhere between January and I'll call it May, at the Super Bowl is where it happened, it would appear. CJ bumped into EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin at the Super Bowl and apparently was not, at least in the eyes of Zaire Franklin, not very respectful to them. Brought up the fact that he cooked them twice last season, even though one of the cookings took place during a game. The Texans lost by double digits at home.
Yeah.
And Zaire Franklin was none too happy about this. This did not take place publicly. This was a private conversation. But CJ, in the eyes of Zaire Franklin, very disrespectful. And he disclosed this in early May on Chris Long's Greenlight podcast.
I'm not going to lie to you. I love CJ, man. I support all our young brothers at quarterback. But CJ, he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me in our run-ins, you know, at the Super Bowl. I need to see that boy again.
What'd he say?
We were talking, and he was, you know, how the Super Bowl is at Radio Row. You know, it's big, all of our stuff going on. So he had the XM radio right before me. He was on there talking about how he cooked the Colts in both games. And I was just, I saw him, and I pulled him aside, and I was like, you know, when you play Anthony, you know, it was like 28-7, and like, the second quarter, we were kind of blowing you out. Yeah, you threw for 300 yards, but...
That's not a cooking.
Yeah, and he was like, bro, I ain't cook you. And I'm like, look, if that's what you consider a cooking with the loss, I mean, congratulations. And, you know, and then I have to remind him as well that he's never beaten Anthony.
Oh! I love this. You're a psychological warfare guy.
This is some of, like, that part of it to me is kind of a lame back and forth on both guys' parts. Like CJ saying, yeah, I cooked you. And it's like, yeah, you lost. And then Zaire Franklin, like, you never beaten Anthony. Well, I mean, he didn't make it out of the first half of that game, Anthony.
This is what I'd say if I had to workshop it with CJ. I'll be his trash talk consigliere.
Okay.
In the game that mattered, the Texans torched the Colts for a touchdown on the first offensive play for the Texans in that game.
At your place. 18. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say something along the lines of like, look, that game right there and everything I did against you in the second, third, and fourth quarters of that game, that's when I knew I had you. In week 18, mm-hmm. we had that planned all year long, and we were just waiting to unveil it. And you guys are so easy to figure out.
Yep.
Something along those lines. CJ could put his own sprinkle on it, make it sound better. That's a theme you should go for. But to Zaire Franklin's credit, he's acknowledged in some of these interviews, like, you know, they won the game that mattered. They won it. Basically a playoff game. They won the game that mattered. But Zaire Franklin, he can say he loves CJ all he wants. There's a duality to that.
Yes.
There's a part of him that seethes with rage. The same way pitcher that broke his hand for the Astros.
Philip Maton. Someone brought him up on the text page earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think Philip Maton did not like losing to his brother.
Right.
And his brother getting a hit off of him in that game. He broke his hand afterwards. That's Zaire Franklin. Philip Maton is Zaire Franklin in this.
Let's get these other two cuts in. This is the best one to me. This is the guys on the Trenches podcast, each holding an iPad, getting ready to watch CJ talk trash about them on the $1 million worth of game podcast. So just know the voices you hear at the beginning are the Colts guys, and then they hit play basically on CJ's trash talk about them.
But y'all know what time it is, though.
Uh-oh. Drop.
Oh, you want me to drop? Okay,
I guarantee if I went to the Colts or like a weak city, he would not be here.
And he be talking about me all the time, and I know he gonna see this. I ain't tripping.
Who?
Zaire Franklin from the Colts.
Hey, from Philly?
He said something the other day, was like on a podcast. He said that in person, I said something to him, like talking mess. I'm like, I don't remember that, to be real. Like, we was at the Super Bowl, I seen him, and somebody asked us to take a picture together, so we took a picture together. I think I was just like talking, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just on some cool shit. Like, we off the field. I'm not really tripping off you, bro.
So he was capping on the podcast?
I don't think he was capping. I might have said something, but it rubbed in the wrong way. But you know, y'all Philly a little sensitive, man, you know? The thing that I don't agree with all these podcasts these players have, my boy EJ, Speed, and I tell him this to his face. I don't even trip it. But, like, a lot of dudes come to these podcasts, like, oh, yeah, I'm coming to hit. I'm going to hit CJ in his face. I'm going to get him next year. Like, where I'm from, we say, why ain't you ain't do something where you was mad at? You was mad right there, my do something.
Right.
You could have made hella plays, bro. You could have made plays, dog. Right. You could have shut me up right there, but you didn't. We played him first game of the year. Yeah. We played him at their place. It's going to be rocking. Indy hates me already, and I love it.
Mm. Hate him.
Hey, look, man, he said Philly sensitive.
That's what he said.
I'm a little sensitive.
That's what he said.
And I took that person.
Okay.
All right, so there you go. The sensitive part. I think that's
it is
what,
true. You don't mess with people in Philly. I mean, like, Will Smith came out of Philly, you know? That's, you know,
ask
a lot
Chris
of tough
Rock.
Guys. Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole, you know, yeah, yeah. They're tough. They'll take on Chris. They'll take on 135-pound comedians who aren't expecting to get punched as they're emceeing a ceremony. Yeah, that's you don't mess with that. That's you don't funny. Mess with that kind of toughness.
Last one, this is just a couple days after the one you just heard. These guys, the Colts guys, have kind of had it with CJ. This cut, they sound like they're ready for week one to get here.
We going to dress, bro, or what? Because we going viral right now. Everybody, damn, Z, I'm done.
I'm cool.
I ain't got enough to say.
CJ said what he's supposed to say, in my eyes. I'm glad he bopping this shit, though, but like, you feel what I'm saying? Week one, like he said. So I'm standing on the week one. That's all he in it. Can say whatever they want to say. Week one, we strap on the pads and we go at it again. But to say I didn't make a play is crazy enough to say that I didn't make a play or whatever like that on him. We got footage, but you feel what I'm saying? He made plays on us. We made plays back and forth. But now that we know the smoker's in the air, let's get to it.
All I'm going to say is I let my beef slow cook, man. I let my I'm done.
Yeah, this
I actually don't even care about last year anymore, bro. Yeah, it's all new. It's all new. It's I don't give a fuck about nothing that happened. I don't care about what it was. I care about what it is.
It's a fact.
So, you feel me? That's just kind of where I'm at.
Week one is going to be crazy.
Momentous.
It's not really much to say about it, man. Look. We ain't going to be going back and forth on socials. Like, we ain't going to really run into each other. Like, this ain't basketball. This football. I get to put my hands on.
Ooh, shots fired at basketball, huh? Shots fired. I didn't hear that the first time. Huh?
You are allowed to put your hands on other basketball players.
Yeah.
Sounds like Zaire Franklin was arguing for the hand check. I think much like for everybody saying, like, well, no, those guys actually like each other. Might be true up to a certain degree, but it feels very much like when siblings might love each other, but they go at it like cats and dogs. Yeah. I've never been more invested in my hatred of the Colts than I am right now.
I know.
And I very much look forward to CJ owning that city for a long, long time.
I think we'll get to some of the keys to the game later in the hour. I just flat out, I think CJ is going to eat on Sunday, man. I think he's going to have a huge game.
Honestly, as good as the front seven is for the Colts, they've got question marks in their secondary. Yeah. And I don't really know what their answers will be for CJ Stroud and all his receiving weaponry. And you might say, well, yeah, but what about the pass rush? I'm not worried about it. Look, as long as those three receivers are healthy, as long as Dalton Schultz lives and breathes, as long as you have Joe Mixon as an option out of the backfield, Bobby will scheme up pass protection. He did it all last year long. The Texans weren't actually all that bad in pass protection. The notable incidents of, like, obviously the Ravens game and the Jets game were glaringly bad, but the health factored into that. And right now, week one, health isn't an issue. You got one guy on the injury report, and that's MJ Stewart on the defensive side of the ball. I'll be really surprised if the Colts put up much of a fight defensively.
Yep.
Zaire Franklin can say all the stuff he wants to say. Maybe he could have a great game, but I don't see how Zaire Franklin is going to do a damn thing to stop Tank Dell. Or Nico Collins on a slant over the middle.
Or Diggs.
You think you're Roquan Smith? Did you see Roquan Smith last night?
Right.
What did he do to stop Rashee Rice? That's my God.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get you ready for week one in the NFL. We'll do Texans and Colts before we get out of here later this hour and lay out the keys. But this is a big weekend of NFL football here in week one. One of the biggest debuts, I would say, in recent league history is happening this weekend that I know people are going to have their eyes on. And I promise you, it's not a rookie nor somebody who just signed with a team. We'll let you hear who that is coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, not a bad slate of week one football coming up this weekend. I would say the Texans and the Colts are probably one of the more interesting games if you weren't in either of those cities that people would keep an eye on. But I like to kind of take a look at the weekend and build it like I would, like a wrestling card. You know, like they got the undercard, the midcard, main event. And I think there's four or five games I'm really intrigued by this weekend. And the first one, Seth, is tonight, Green Bay and Philadelphia, where it feels a little bit like the game has taken a backseat to the trepidation of some of the players in merely being in Brazil. Players like Darius Slay, who had this to say on his podcast earlier this week.
Let's get into this Brazil trip. Week one, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. But, man, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? I'm here to tell you why. They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, NFL, why don't y'all want to send us somewhere with the crime rate this high? And like, we got the country. So, you know, the first thing people think is like, something terrible can possibly happen. I told my family, do not come down there because like, I'm not going to be nowhere to be found. Really, I'm going to be in a hotel chilling, minding my business, playing my game after a long 9.5 hour flight. So I don't have no intentions on doing nothing. I'm going to eat hotel food. I'm doing everything.
Look, I know some members of the audience were upset with me that I downplayed. They thought I was downplaying the crime problem in Sao Paulo, which I didn't intend to do. But I will say I can see where, as a player, I think this is what happened. And I'll credit some of the other listeners for pointing me to some stories. I think a lot of the players from both of these sides, from both of these teams were excited about going to Brazil. And in their mind, they're like, oh, it's a South American vacation. And then they got their talking to from the team security officials that explained, like, why we're going to limit your movement and activity and all of that. Because as a team, you're thinking about, honestly, you're thinking about like five dudes on your team.
Right.
You're thinking about the five dudes that are just idiots,
yeah,
and that are going to find a way to get themselves in trouble. So we're going to be in the bubble environment, and then we're going to be out. So a lot of guys probably had their hopes dashed a little bit. And they also got a good, that because of those five dudes, they were, they put the appropriate scare into them about what they can and can't do in Brazil.
Yes.
So as far as we had a few people say like, well, why would they do this? It seems like it's fraught with peril. Lots of teams do this all the time, especially when you think about like more high profile soccer players in the eyes of Brazilians who make more money than football players, et cetera, et cetera. It's not like this doesn't happen all the time. The NFL has played boatloads of games in Mexico City. It goes off without a hitch. But I think that's the part where when people ask, why are they doing this in Brazil? Brazil has the second highest fan base amongst foreign countries of the NFL.
Makes
they have
sense.
A huge,
yeah,
NFL fan base. It makes a lot of sense. But the other interesting dynamic of this is the fact that, you know, Twitter is banned in Brazil right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of, I guess, Eagles players and Eagles wives are like tweeting on behalf of their husbands.
Oh, really?
I'll have to go check that out this afternoon. And Packers wives as
well. Okay, I got to see. How comfortable would I be with Amy being my mouthpiece on Twitter?
I would worry that Amy would start spouting off political statements or something that might put you in danger.
No, she wouldn't. All right, so that's the undercard is tonight, Green Bay and Philly. Hey, just 15 seconds or less. Who do you think wins this game tonight? Green Bay. Who do you got between Green Bay and Philly tonight?
I've got Green Bay.
Yeah.
I do like Jordan Love. I'm intrigued by the Eagles' offensive line and their lack of Jason Kelce, yet still very good rushing attack, rushing blockers with the addition of Saquon Barkley. But there's just been too much dysfunction in Philadelphia for me to really buy into them just yet.
I'm with you on that. As far as Sunday goes, as we stack this thing, the mid card, I would say this might be the most intriguing game of the weekend from the standpoint of two things. One, the loser of this game, for sure, the sky will be falling Monday morning. One of these two teams is going to be 0-1, and on Monday on Sports Talk Radio in that city, the city's going to be going crazy. And also, this game features the most scrutinized debut of anybody in any job this weekend. Tom Brady's debut as a broadcaster, Dallas at Cleveland. Whoever loses this game, the fan base is going to be going crazy because I think these are both teams that could view themselves as dark horse Super Bowl teams. And I could see either of these teams, Seth, going 6-11 this year also. Here's a
big
window for both of these teams. And you got Brady's debut as the backdrop of all of it. This is super, super fun.
Brady with a gag order in a lot of respects on what he can and cannot do. We're going to see if Brady, how he's going to weigh all those factors as he becomes thinking about becoming a Raiders coach.
Owner, not a coach.
Look, Deshaun Watson, it's as much as there is drama in Dallas and as much as the what happens with Dak afterwards, that doesn't really hit home as much, even though it's a concern on the for the Texans' schedule this year and everything. I think the Cowboys are going to be a good regular season team. Mm-hmm. They've had no issue being a good regular season team. I think Dak Prescott's going to play just really, really well. Mm-hmm. It's all about the playoffs for them. For Cleveland, this is a stacked Cleveland roster, but with a quarterback who has been outperformed over the last 2 years by Davis Mills. Davis Mills has over 1,000 more yards passing in the last two seasons than Deshaun Watson. Are there reasons behind that? Yes, sure. But Deshaun Watson has made about $235 million more guaranteed over the last 2 years than Davis Mills.
You happen to see the hype video that Cleveland did about Deshaun Watson, that the Browns did about Deshaun Watson?
No, I didn't.
Narrated by Bernie Kosar. I hesitate to make fun of because he's in really poor health right now.
Yeah.
Especially if you watch it right after the JJ Watt video, you're like, oh my God. Like, they are trying so hard. The whole hype video, Seth, is about Deshaun working through his rehab, and now Deshaun is back. I got to find that during the break, Ben. I'll try to find it during the break and get it to you in a reasonable amount of time and play it back to back with JJ Watt. It's like, holy cow. Anyways, I'm excited for that game, Dallas at Cleveland. Two more, semi-main event, I'll call it. Rams at Lions, Sunday Night Football. These are two of the better teams. Detroit is considered, behind San Francisco, the next best option out of the NFC for the Super Bowl. And I think the Rams also, still with Matthew Stafford as their quarterback and Sean McVay as their coach, they have Super Bowl aspirations as well. They had a really good draft. It's Stafford versus Goff also. Like, these guys are both going against their old teams. That's always fun.
And I'll tell you, too, the Rams, you know, who we got to see in practice, but not much of in the game, of their starters, and especially their young new defensive linemen and pass rushers. The rubber meets the road for Jared Goff in a lot of ways here. And whether or not he's the guy that can actually do it for you in the playoffs. And I'm thinking about making the Rams my NFC team to cheer for this year.
Oh, okay.
So I'm heavily invested. What's the line on this game, Sean?
Good question. I would guess it's in Detroit. I would guess it's Lions 3.5, 4, something. Yeah. I'll look it up right now. I would guess the Lions are a small favorite.
And I'm not down. It's weird. The Rams have almost become kind of like a darling underdog.
Yeah.
And yet I've been impressed by the way they've been able to turn it around over the last couple of years.
I was a little off. Lions 4.5. I don't know. Rams might feel frisky in that game. I'm guessing it's going to be rocking in Detroit for Sunday Night Football with Matthew Stafford on the other side. That place is going to be going haywire. By the way, you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 610, as you can hear the Friday game tonight between Green Bay and Philadelphia, as well you can hear the Monday Night Football game, which is my main event for the weekend. This is the game I am most looking forward to seeing other than the Texans game. The Jets, the return of Aaron Rodgers, and they do not give him a tomato can to beat up on in week one. They are sending him out to the Bay Area to face the San Francisco 49ers.
Right. And now in this, honestly, if you think about all the reasons that Aaron Rodgers, you know, by the end was very disgruntled with Green Bay management, at least one of those things was that he very rarely had a really good defense on the other side of the ball. Now he steps into a situation where the offense for the Jets has very much been the issue. But he does have a really good, I think the Jets, you know, like, how good of a defense were they? I think they were better than, a lot of people last year were trying to say that they thought that the Jets defense wasn't actually that good. And I don't think that took into account the fact that the Jets defense got no help or support from the offense last year.
Right.
I think that the Jets defense, coupled with an Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, if he's throwing the ball well, if he can do all those things, this could be a classic victory for the Jets, even if they lose the game, just if they go and slug it out and Aaron Rodgers has a good defense on the other side of him. He looks vintage in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's also like, it's weird to say that Brock Purdy is still proving himself, but in a lot of ways, I think people think he is. But Brock Purdy and all of that offensive weaponry versus that Jets defense. This is one of my favorite matchups to watch in terms of multiple storylines of really good football players.
I agree. I think it's a main event of the weekend for me is the Monday night game between the Jets and the San Francisco 49ers. All right, up next, final segment before Seth and I get into game mode for Sunday here, and we'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. J.J. Watt got us hyped earlier. A lot of you loved hearing this. If you've missed, if you missed the hype video that the Texans put out, we'll have the audio for you yesterday. Chill bump factor was very high with the audience earlier on this. We'll see what the 9:30 crowd thinks of it. We'll have that for you and get you ready for the matchup as well with some of the keys we think you need to see on Sunday. And that is all coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, we're really excited about this week. We're excited to prepare for the Colts' big-time matchup for us. So we're really looking forward to it. Had a really good day of work today, our first one, prepping for the Colts. So excited about, you know, all of our guys are out there, available, working. Excited about the work that we put in today.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans, excited for week one. That was on Wednesday when he met with the media. D'Amico and the Texans will be on their way tomorrow to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. You can hear that game at noon kickoff, 9 o'clock pregame here on Sports Radio 610.
He sounded excited.
He does. As excited, as animated as D'Amico. Now, D'Amico can get animated, but he reserves animated, that.
But yeah. He very much gets into, you know, respectful coach mode when it comes to talking about matchups and everything.
Yep.
The closest, he's one guy where the transcripts sometimes look more exciting than the way he composes himself when talking about the opponent.
Yeah.
The transcripts from earlier in the week, where he didn't really sound all that excited, but he used the term wreak havoc when asked about the prospect of seeing Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter out there at the same time. He said he was excited about seeing them wreak havoc. And, you know, he said it in that same tone of voice where he's not trying to give bulletin board material or anything. But I do think, look, we know CJ is very, or excuse me, D'Amico is very much he's a defensive line collector. He's a collector of defensive linemen. I'm convinced that every morning he walks into Nick's office and asks if they can sign a defensive lineman that day. And D'Amico has to talk him out of spending all their money on defensive linemen. I think D'Amico is really genuinely excited about those guys coming off the edge and what they might be able to do.
I like to think he's like Veruca Salt in the Willy Wonka movie. And he's like, I want a defensive lineman now, Daddy. No, Veruca.
Is he wearing a little like fancy lad English?
Yeah,
like knickers and a floppy hat and everything and a big lollipop.
Yeah, he's Veruca Salt's older brother, D'Amico. D'Amico Salt. Yeah, that's what he is. Texans Colts Sunday at noon. By the way, somebody is asking, can y'all post the Five Reasons I Hate You segment that I can share with my Colt fan friends, please? Yes, it's up. It's like we put it on the podcast. Ben, does it get its own a little podcast segment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's up.
So it's up. You can find it on our podcast page.
I can't wait until Indianapolisians start fact-checking and disproving all the things I said in that.
Now be ready.
We're actually only fourth in cousin marriage. We're not the top state in the union in cousin marriage.
Yep.
Yeah. we don't eat that much poop, actually.
We're only fifth, and it was only 1,000 pounds of manure. Losers. Yeah.
I mean, and look, the vast majority of those come from three counties.
Yeah. Exactly. See, we're top heavy in manure consumption. So this J.J. Watt video, man, the mere mention of it, text message. I watched the hype video 5 times, chills every single time. If you missed it, you can go find it. It's on the Texans social media. I'm sure it's up on their YouTube. I know it's up on their Twitter because that's where I saw it. Instagram, I'm sure it's up as well. You can find it anywhere. But
I'll do a reaction video to it later.
Oh, it's good.
That's free money, man.
Oh,
The Texans don't put in a copyright claim when you use their stuff. It's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. So are you going to react to the overall video, or are you going to pause it at times and then react?
I'll pause it at times.
Yeah.
You got to say that up front because some people don't get the concept of a reaction video and they get angry that you don't let it play all the way through. I did a Taylor Swift reaction video last year just for the hell of it.
How'd that do?
And the Swifties were actually really cool about it.
Yeah.
They were kind of cool that, like, oh, here's a middle-aged dude who's an NFL guy who's not bashing Taylor Swift. So they were accommodating of my ignorance about Taylor Swift
stuff. That's good.
And it was fun. Yeah. I kind of like Taylor Swift now.
Yeah.
Mostly because the Swifties were nice to me.
Well, and then they click. They also click a lot, Seth. They click on a lot of Taylor things. I would imagine that video did pretty well, is what I'm saying.
I don't want to spend too much time in that space because I'd end up looking creepy, okay?
Sure.
So I'm not, It's but not like I'm trying to make that a cottage industry for me.
That's fine, but as a side benefit, it actually, I would imagine, did pretty well for you on the YouTube clips.
Oh, yeah, but then there's still a few people that are like, how come you're not letting the video play? I ask, it's kind of the format, all right? Gotcha. Welcome to the internet, you bastard.
All right, so J.J. Watt, the hype video from the Texans. We've got the audio for it here. It's about 2 minutes long. It's real. Even just the audio is excellent.
Yeah.
Just
so I've listened to it, but I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it yet. You haven't watched it yet. So just to set what the look of it is, J.J. is in a blue, like a Columbia blue, not Columbia, H-Town blue, sorry. H-Town blue t-shirt. I don't know what the slogan is on the front of it. And he's walking.
Hex code right, Sean.
He's walking down the tunnel out onto the field where the players come out at NRG Stadium. And he's the one narrating this as he's walking. The camera's up in his face. They're showing highlights, playing audio. Here's what it sounds like.
You hear that, Houston? Silence. Sometimes that silence can be deafening. But in that void, there's a whisper of what's to come. A pulse reverberating into the city that grows stronger by the second. You can feel it in the air, a rumbling, an anxiety, that feeling in the pit of your stomach. Echoes of expectations.
Then there's this team in Houston. They brought in Stephon Diggs, they bring in Joe Mixon, and we got massive respect for what they got going on.
It's an earned sensation, and you can't shake it. I've felt it before. I know what it's like.
Dalton throws it. It's intercepted. 1-10-5. Touchdown, Texans. And Reliant Stadium has erupted.
The energy. The speculation, the expectations.
What do you think of the Texans' hype?
Expectations from the outside have gone through the roof.
They have a target on their back.
Well, listen, the hype, that's just chatter.
It doesn't matter what people say on the outside about the men in this room.
They're pretty steadfast in not listening to the outside noise.
In the end, we're the Houston Texans, so we can't worry about what happened last year.
Because around here, success isn't owned, it's leased. And rent? That shit's due every damn day. We're relentlessly focused on one thing. Building this foundation our way. But not only for this team, no. This is for all of H-Town. The heartbeat of this city is what drives this team forward each and every day. So now it's finally time to break that silence and make noise the only way we know how.
Here's it now.
On the damn field. H is up, H-Town.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good hype video.
That is
a
good. Hyped. Yeah, dude.
I did. I was feeling the actual emotions he was talking about. I was he was taking me through the excitement, the anxiety, hearing your pulse, all of that. Very well done, Texans media people.
Yes.
That was very well done. I think I wonder if we're gonna get JJ doing the voiceover as the intro to one of the primetime games.
Oh.
You know, they do those the various networks do the little intros, and a lot of times it's a celebrity. Well, my favorite current voiceover celebrity is Willem Dafoe in that Nike Am I a Bad Person ad. JJ's going to get good at this. He's I think that was really, really good, but with more practice, he could get... I'm not claiming he's Willem Dafoe as an actor just yet.
Right? No, not
but
yet.
But I think he has that potential.
He does. I have the audio of the Browns season hype video. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay.
God, yes.
This is Bernie Kosar narrating the Browns season hype video. Here's what it sounds like.
There are three words you hear a lot at the start of any NFL season: expectations, anticipation, excitement. And for us this year, it all feels warranted.
Touchdown!
All the achievements, the highlights, the memories of last season, giving way to big expectations, huge anticipation, and tons of excitement for this year. And this guy is in the middle of all of it.
Sean,
remember this? Sean. I've been there. I've felt that kind of pain. I've cared that much about the game. And I know Deshaun does too. The toughness, resilience, commitment, passion, It defines the way he plays. And I know it's driven his rehab too. Now comes the reward for all that work. The return. Deshaun's back. The Browns are back. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for kickoff.
They're, too, they're trying so
back
hard.
Back from what, Bernie? Back from what? Oh, okay, that's right. It was an injury, not the suspension. He already came back
from
He came back from the suspension, and then he got injured, and then he played, and then he got injured again. So it's not back from the suspension. I had to remind myself halfway through. I couldn't remember if I was listening to the Browns hype video or Alex Bregman's statement after the being better than everybody else scandal. I wasn't quite sure whether it was this. Was this a scripted...
Dude,
it sounds like Kozar showed up and was reading it for the first time. Let's do this thing in one take.
Yeah.
Old one take Bernie. That's what they call me.
The part where he's like, even his rehab, he attacked. Like, it's just a weird thing in a hype video to mention somebody's rehab.
Yeah.
You know,
and again, I think a lot of Browns fans are kind of like, yeah, he's back.
Right. For three more years. Like, they're
X-ing
days off the calendar till the end of 2026. Like, they're
what could have enticed them to come back? Oh yeah, he still has the most lucrative contract in NFL history.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. So I if we're playing, you know, if we're playing like American Idol here or whatever, I grade the Texans hype video vastly superior to the stuff the Browns are putting out. I don't want to be too hard on Bernie Kozar. He's not
kind of similar
well.
In that, you know, it's both two franchises. The Browns have had a, you know, a much longer plight, obviously, but you got two all-time greats from the franchise, but who were never able to win a Super Bowl. So like, there is that, you know, it's almost like you're finishing unfinished business when you have either Bernie Kozar or J.J. Watt come in to do it. I felt it a lot more with J.J.
Yeah.
I tried to put myself in the shoes, the tattered and worn shoes of a Browns fan, and feel it. And I wasn't feeling it in that one.
Nope, not at all.
No.
Not at all. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here. They are in the loop. So we just got hyped with the J.J. Watt hype video audio.
Yes, sir.
It's really, really good. What part of what aspect of the game this weekend, like matchup or whatever in the Colts-Texans game, are you most excited to see, whether it's a new player on the Texans or whether it's a specific matchup? What are you guys most excited to see that is also kind of a key to the game also, you know, that kind of,
well, I want to see Bobby Slowick get to work. I've been talking about that a lot. I think all these new toys, man, I've said it multiple times, I think it's gonna be fun to watch.
They don't have a good secondary either. Like, the matchup works out very, very well. What about you, Reggie?
I you know, I'm gonna focus on what I've always said is the most exciting part of football is offensive line play.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody,
bless
you cannot
heart.
Deny
bless
that
your
offensive
heart.
Line play is what the people show up for. No, I mean, look,
and Seth's right there with you on that
and
one.
In its simplest form, the game is about blocking and tackling, right?
Yes.
And so, yeah, if they can block this up, obviously the defensive line for the Colts is one that's, you know, formidable. But then also, are they going to be able to create holes that generate running in your lanes? And so that's very much where my eyes are trained.
That's huge. I mean, if you want to be genuinely elite, they've got to have a good rushing attack this year. It doesn't have to be league leading or anything, but they got to be able to take advantage of some of these coverages they're going to see from opponents. This week especially, the Colts are going to do everything they can to help out that young secondary of theirs, and that means that you're going to see a lot of lighter boxes. Can the Texans take advantage of that? I don't worry about the pass protection as much because Bobby can scheme that up. But Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green specifically, really, all right, let's see you deliver on some of this promise. And we saw glimmers of it, but we haven't seen this entire offensive line together in a game situation yet this offseason. I want to be pleasantly surprised by, like, oh, wow, you know what? They're way further ahead in the run game than I thought.
Yeah.
Way further ahead in the run game than I thought.
Interior on interior. Interior O-line Texans, interior D-line Colts is going to be a big factor. That's going to be a big deciding factor in this game.
And the other way, too. Interior
stopping
Colts.
The run.
Well, you know what? No, good point, John, because last year you go back and watch that week 18 game, and man, there were times where Jonathan Taylor was like untouched on some of those long runs until 7-8 yards. He had to break one tackle 8 yards past the line of scrimmage, and that's on the linebackers too. That was Christian Harris played in that game. He was culpable for some of those long runs because the linebackers were not great in that game. The front seven for the Texans probably one of the more underrated tests, because we're thinking about the edge rushers and how good they can be. The entirety of it in the run game and the pass game, there's some unknown commodities there.
100%. Simple question for each of you. Okay. Get on the record now. Joe Mixon will have the most carries of anybody, barring injury, on Sunday. Who has the second most carries on the Houston Texans?
Cam Akers.
Sunday? You say, I said Akers too. Who do you say?
Damian Pierce.
You say Damian Pierce. Why do you think Damian Pierce?
This organization has been so committed to the bit on this. I don't think you give that up in week one.
The bit.
No.
The bit.
They've been very Astros-like in that regard. They've been the way the Astros were committed to Abreu. Yes, that's what the Texans have.
The bit
that's how
is the best
felt.
Part of that whole line.
Just picturing Nick Caserio doing bits, you know?
Not to imply
what's
that they're
what's the deal with airplane peanuts?
But yeah, this is the way
you kind of implied that.
It,
you kind know? Of implied that.
All right, yeah.
No,
I just thought
more
I think it's accurate.
I think it's good.
Yeah. Reggie, there is a part of me that feels like I think that D'Amico and Nick are doing the right thing, saying the right thing publicly about Damian Pierce, but much in the same way the Astros were trying to do the right thing, say the right thing, to do right by the player to try to bolster up Jose Abreu's confidence. I find it hard to believe that Nick and D'Amico both feel 100% positive that Damian's going to be the guy he was in 2022. I don't understand how they could genuinely feel that way. So I think that they're kind of waiting to see as well.
All right, we got to get out of here. But one more thing before Thursday Night Football. I know you guys both watched the game last night. Watching that game, how do you feel about the Texans? Do you feel like you plunked the Texans down in for either
what
of
What did
those
I just
teams?
Tell you?
Am I segueing you in? Okay, good.
You're leading right into
I want to know what you guys. I just want to make sure you guys were talking about that, because I want your opinion.
Hang tight, because that was my number one takeaway.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay,
number
so
one takeaway.
That's what's going to kick off in the loop. Okay.
With a bullet.
Okay, good, 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 good. I haven't looked at the rundown or anything. Yeah. That's just all of us being
look
simpatico here.
Yeah, to see it.
I think just to sum up that one last question, I don't think that the second leading rusher in terms of number of carries is a running back at all. Mixon might be the only running back who gets any carries.
A few times last year, yeah.
I know, but backup running backs don't typically get many carries at all. I think it's going to be a wide receiver. I think one of those guys gets a couple end-arounds in the game.
Oh, and that'll be it, huh?
That'll be your second leading number of touches in the run game, like other than C.J. Stroud's scramble.
Or C.J. Stroud kneel-downs at the end of the
game.
There you
go.
How about that? Those are carries.
Victory
those
formation.
Count. If he kneels down like three times and gets a couple carries, I'm going to come in on Monday.
Yeah, told you.
Peacock. Yeah.
I think they changed that, by the way. But yes, I know your point. I got your point.
Yeah, okay, now I'm looking that up. All right, we're done. We're out of time. Seth, I will see you Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Texans countdown, baby.
Antibodies and all the prop bets on C.J. Stroud kneel downs to you.
You got that right. All right, we're done. We are out of time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.